What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Hey, so good to have you back on the pod. We're here in Nashville, and I've got a great songwriter that has actually been on the show with us, but way back. It was like the second, maybe the third show, and that was back when we only had Bills on the show. we had Billy Lee, we had Bill White, and we had Bill O'Hanlon, and Bill O'Hanlon is back. And we've got a lot to talk about today. Bill, welcome back. Now, you were back with us just a few weeks back talking about your new book and the launch of this new book, The Songwriter's Guide.
With my co-conspirators and co-authors, that's right.
Nancy and Leslie, yeah. So if you haven't heard that one, go back a few weeks. And Bill, as you said it perfectly, you said this is the book that you wish when you got to Nashville, somebody would have said, here, read this.
They should just have a little toll booth and you have to get in. They tell you about the terrible traffic and how much it costs to park downtown and how streaming won't pay out. And you should have this book. I wish somebody had given it to me when I walked into town.
It is a great guide on how we make money in the songwriting industry, you know, and so it's really an important book. So I encourage you not only to get the book, but go back. If you haven't heard that episode, you need to hear it. You really do. Bill, thanks for coming in. I don't think I've seen you since like before. Wait, last time I saw you, you still had the long hair.
I had long hair. Now I have short hair. And part of the reason I had short hair is that I hate to say this because people would get upset with me, but I have a place in the Caribbean that I live, and I live for 4.5 months or 5 months every winter. I grew up like you. I grew up in the cold Midwest, and you know, that's the way winter was.
Yep.
And I went to school in Arizona, and I came back to the Midwest, and I'm like, you mean you don't have to have these winters?
So, you don't.
But even now, even I'm so wimpy, even Nashville winters are like, it's a little too cold for me here. So I went down to the Caribbean and I do my writing by Zoom when I'm down there. And I fly up to Nashville every once in a while to do in-person co-writes. The week I came up to Nashville this winter was frozen over and everything canceled. But
just in time for that, right?
Just in time for that, yeah. And I was like, okay, next year I'm going to plan it for the week that's not frozen.
I love to follow you on the socials and see the pictures that you post from your home down there.
That's right.
Bonaire, is that? Where?
Bonaire. Yeah.
Bonaire.
Bonaire, right next to Aruba. There's three islands, the ABC Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao, and I'm in Bonaire.
I have to tell you, I love your new co-writer. The little kid.
The little cat. We were adopted by some feral cats in what they call the Kanuku there. That's the sort of outback
That's cool.
Kanuku cats that came up, and we started feeding them, and they became fast friends.
Okay. Yeah.
He's my co-writer. And I say fur for a third. That's what they say.
Fur for a third. I absolutely love that. My cat does that all the time.
Yeah. You owe that cat a bunch of cat food.
I sure do. Let's tell you a little bit about Bill O'Hanlon. Everybody in this town knows Bill. Because, you know, I heard it recently. In fact, my friend Michael Saletta said this. And I go, did you come up with this? Because if you did, this is brilliant. He goes, yeah, it's just something I always say. He said, your network is your net worth. And you are just a master. Everybody in this town knows you.
Wow. I learned from a friend of mine to just make sure I put everything on socials that I did because it does it. But also, you know this. You come into town at a certain time and you get with your freshman class of songwriters,
you
know. And sometimes some of you were juniors by the time I got here as a freshman, but we did connect. And, you know, I only wrote songs on my own, which you probably, I mean, I think you were involved in more of a co-writing thing back in the Midwest, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wrote songs on my own. When I got here, they were like, oh, now you need to co-write. Because Cherise Spoltori, who's a friend of both of ours, a Global Songwriters Connection. Mm-hmm. And she said, Bill, your songs are good, but they could be much better. You should co-write. And I, every time she heard one of my songs, she said that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but to whom, you know, with whom do I co-write? And how do I find those people? And you know, you come to Nashville, you start going out to rounds, and you find your peeps. Mm-hmm. You hear somebody play a song, you know, like Dave Lanahan plays a song like Baby You're Gone or Louisville Slugger, and I'm like, I want to write with him. Right here, and you come up and you go, you ever want to write?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, maybe. And then we try and write, and sometimes it's like a blind date, works out well, and sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you find your peeps. And also, the nice part about Nashville is if you're nice, if you're not a jerk, it is a little big town, and people will celebrate your successes and support you and make connections for you and introduce you to their co-writers that they like and, you know, help you.
The network widens a little bit.
And that network, it's truly, it takes a village to raise a song.
I love that too. So for folks that aren't in Nashville and don't know Bill O'Hanlon, let me tell you a little bit about Bill. Psychologist, right?
Psychotherapist. I say with the emphasis on psycho, I always say.
Psychohypnotist as well.
Yeah, hypnotherapist.
Which, you know, hypnotherapy, that's how I quit smoking. It's very powerful stuff. And we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
A great author. 40-some books?
41 now.
41.
I want credit for every one. Those are hard to write.
But three of them in the music business?
Four now.
Oh, and they're all must-have books. If you're into songwriting, look for Bill O'Hanlon's books out there. A book that got you on the Today Show.
Love is a Verb. And you know what?
And a book that got you on Oprah.
Called Do One Thing Different. Uh-huh. You know what? The book Love is a Verb.
Right.
I was a songwriter, but I wrote songs on my own, and I wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. I was okay. You know, singer-songwriter, okay. But not that serious about it. And four people have written songs based on the book title.
On that book?
Love is a Verb. And finally, I did too, but John Mayer has a song called Love is a Verb.
Does he pay you royalty?
Not a darn thing. You can't copyright a title, babe.
Not even a dinner.
I hate that. Yeah, he's never taken me out to dinner, never showed me a guitar lick or anything. A Christian group did it one, and someone called me one day and said, this was years ago, turn on your TV right now, turn on Oprah. And I'm like, okay. And Clint Black was on there, and he'd just written a song called Love is Something That You Do, which you I think you know because you're a radio guy, and it was a hit. And he and his wife,
Lisa
Black, were on there, and he was saying, my co-writer and I, Lisa and I read this book called Love is a Verb. And we were inspired by that, and we decided we'd write a song based on that. And Skip Ewing and Clint Black wrote Love is a Verb. And I'm like, everybody's writing books and songs on my book title. Why don't I? And so I finally did write a song with my friend Mark Dolan called Love is a Verb.
But, Mark Dolan, good guy. You know, I really wanted to ask you about that transition. And, you know, maybe transition is a bad word because it really wasn't. It was an extension of what you do.
I had written songs through the years, but I'd been a psychotherapist, as we mentioned, a hypnotherapist, couples therapist, and you get a lot of stories for songs from being a couples therapist for 40 years.
Right.
And I always wrote, but I wrote very infrequently, like you do when you have a full-time job.
So it was always a part of it.
Yeah, and I played guitar every day. I mean, I have calluses from when I was 12 years old. I didn't get them right away, but I can put pins in the top of my fingers and then I don't feel them because I play a lot. And so I always kept up with that, but I wasn't that serious about songwriting. And
that's what I want to
ask. How
did you get serious about it? What was it?
I was a therapist, and then I started writing. I started teaching. I started speaking because I was passionate about something in my psychotherapy career, a sort of approach. And shy as I was, I started to go out and do speaking engagements. And that's, I got good at it. I was shy, but I must have had an inner ham. So I got, you know, it came out when I did that. And I got really good at speaking. So I was in demand. And people
public
come
speaking.
Up. Yeah, public speaking for therapists mostly. And then I did some for the general public later. But I was traveling 3 or 4 times a month. And people would say, where's your book? And I go, oh, I don't know how to write a book. I can't do any of that. Mm. And eventually the book started to come. And I just started to write one a year and wrote 41, as I've said so far. Mm. And I was traveling so much, and I had kids, and they were growing up, and they were going away from home, and and it was hard on my relationships, not just my family and my partner, but my friends. I was gone so much, I didn't see them, and you know, when I came home, I was so busy, it was sort of a burden to go out to lunch with them, or meet them for breakfast, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I put all my stuff online, and I learned to do online teaching so well. I made a passive income that let me go back to that earlier love. I was a singer-songwriter when I was in college.
Okay.
And I didn't want to be a singer-songwriter anymore because I didn't want to tour like that. I didn't want to be an artist anymore. And I decided, I want to see if I can make this songwriting thing work. And I had the financial security to do that. You know, it's the old joke about airlines. How do you make $2 million? How do you make $1 million with an airline? Start with $2 million.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with songwriting these days. You know, it's hard to make a living as a songwriter. But I had that financial security that I thought, I am going to see if I can do this as my third or fourth act, because I was a therapist, and then I was a speaker, and then I was a writer, a book writer, and then I was an online marketer, I guess. And then I decided, I want to see if I can actually do songwriting in a professional way. I mean, get my songs on the radio, have them recorded by other people, and you know, get them on TV and movies and commercials and stuff like that, and see if, you know, I could be good enough to do that. And when I got here, it was very humbling, because again, people said, those songs are good, but they're not commercial. They're not great.
When you see where the bar is, it's
yeah. And the thing that did it, what Cherie said, was co-writing. I've learned so much. I've co-written with you. We learn from each other.
Yeah, we do.
And we make each other a little better, because it's like, Dave went there and I wouldn't have gone there. And that is cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I would do my usual thing, which was fine, but you made it that much better, or that much cooler, or like, I fall in love with that song because I wouldn't have written it that way exactly. And we wrote it together, so we collaborated. But I learned
you say
so
something
much
that your co-writer builds off. Maybe you've got an idea, and you say, well, what if we go here? And they go, oh, yeah, but if we say it this way, and you
absolutely
go, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would have never thought of that. Or they say something wrong, and you think of something based on what they said.
Right.
Sometimes we both get it wrong, and
it's
then
brilliant.
You know, we associate something, and you go, oh, how about this? And then you both look at each other and go,
100%.
That's the line.
That's the line.
Or that's the melody. That's the note. And it's like, oh. And you meet people who are great melodists, great lyricists, great with ideas, great with editing, great with being in the room with other people and putting together rooms.
Yep.
And I've learned so much. And obviously, you know, you and I, we've gotten feedback on our songs from pros and from people who know in the industry. And that helps you too. And, you know, we study songwriting, and we watch the best and try and learn from them. There's all sorts of ways. But I decided I am going to graduate school in songwriting. And I got my bachelor's, and I got my master's, and I got my PhD. And I, you know, we've talked about this, but I write so much. I felt an urgency because I'm no spring chicken. I've been around for a while, and I thought, and I helped take care of my my partner's elderly parents during the last decade of their life. They lived till 100. Both of them lived till 100 at home, aged at home.
Wow.
But they lost their hearing, and I thought, I need to get this songwriting thing going, because I'm no Beethoven. I actually have to hear the song to write it.
Yeah.
And so I really got serious, and I thought, you know, and everybody comes here and they say it's a 10-year town. Nashville is a 10-year town to get any real, you know, significant success. And I thought, I know already how to do, I've done 3 careers before this. I think I could make it a 4-year town. And then, you know, it's like, well, maybe a 6-year town and maybe a 7-year town. Right now it's going on 8. And I've had
114 cuts?
118.
118.
I want credit for every one of those. 118 cuts, and I have about 10 more coming out in the next month, and they're starting to accelerate. I mean, it's starting to happen. All indie cuts so far. I've had a couple of major sync artist holds. Definitely 14 sync placements. Yeah, I've been in
movies and TVs. That's great.
Fox TV show, MTV, and some commercials and stuff. So, promos. So, yeah, I mean, I'm getting some traction.
Yes,
more than
are.
That. Mm-hmm. I'm learning how to write songs, and I'm right. I mean, sure, this happened to you. Sometimes I'll be walking around my house, and I'll have this song going through my head, or I'll be whistling a song or humming a song, and I'll think, wait a minute, that's my song. I love that song, you know?
It's great.
Writing things that you actually are so proud of and you love, and also you've experienced this because I've seen you do it. You know, you're singing a song, and you've got 30 or 50 people in the crowd singing along your song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great thing.
There's nothing like, I mean, you when you play Baby, I'm Gone, the whole crowd, because sometimes there's a lot of songwriters and there's a lot of musical people here in Nashville, they're singing harmonies, three-part harmonies to, you know, Baby, when I'm Gone.
I was playing with a guy from, came in from Wyoming, I want to say. It was Wyoming. It was definitely Wyoming. And we met the first time that night. I started playing Baby, I'm Gone, and he starts singing along with me. I go, how do you know that song? He goes, I love that song. That's Chancey Williams.
That's right.
Because you wrote that.
Right. But even if you haven't heard it, after you've heard it, after you've heard one chorus, because that's one of the keys to that song, it's a learnable song, and it's very memorable.
Simple to sing.
So the second chorus, I'm singing along. I was singing along the second chorus the first time I heard that song, because I hadn't heard Chancey Williams sing.
Before we get to your song, there's so many things I want to talk to you. We might even have time to play songs.
Yeah, forget that.
You know, we always talk, and I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and I know you do.
I religiously every week. I tell you, because you post it, and then I go listen on my walk. I exercise typically in the morning for 25 to 45 minutes, and you know your podcast go a little different. And
I like to podcast while I'm working out too.
It's perfect timing for me, and it's being in graduate school. One thing that someone says there may either lead to a song idea, or it makes me a better songwriter, or it validates me. I'm like, I've been doing that wrong. That person has a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're serious about songwriting, you should listen to other people who've done it and learn from their failures and mistakes and successes and strategies. Because it's like, I never thought of doing it. Wow. That guy was on Dave, or that woman was on Dave, and that's a great idea. Mm. Or that's how they made got their first cut or got this connection. I need to do something like that. Mm-hmm. There's so much learning, and you know, obviously you're a good interviewer.
You're learning,
you make
growing.
People comfortable, and you know, they come out to you in really good ways. You bring them out of themselves. That's the sign of a good interviewer. I mean, I listen to Terry Gross, who does Fresh Air.
Always loved her.
And there's a sign of a good interviewer. They bring out the best in their interview subjects.
And they listen, you know.
Listening is very important. Yeah. And they interact. They don't just have the standard set of questions, and they don't respond.
Check the question.
Yeah, check this question, and they're not. I've promoted my books.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that go on and they absolutely not listen to.
Tell me about yourself. Oh, come on, that's your homework.
They're not listening. They're thinking. You know, it's like mostly on TV because they're so.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fast.
And they're interviewing how many people a month,
that's
a week.
Right.
You know,
they're more worried about their hair and their makeup than what you have to say.
We talk a lot on this podcast about defining your own success, defining what success is for you, because we're living in a world now. With social media and everything, it's so easy to get on there and go, oh, that dude played at the local. I'll never get to play there.
I could play at the local, or the Bluebird, the Bluebird,
And you start putting yourself down. But I think it's important that you define your own success. And Bill, this is what I want to ask you, because you've been successful in a lot of different areas. So how does Bill O'Hanlon define success? And going beyond that, what would you tell people that were just starting out?
Well, I mean, I think there are different levels of success. I had for me like a rungs of a ladder of success.
Mm-hmm.
And one was, could I write a song that I was so happy with and so proud of that I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was not good, but great.
Mm-hmm.
Can I write a great song that I'm really proud of? Mm-hmm. That was my first level. And I'd written good songs and my family liked them and my friends liked them, but I would play them out and people, I heard Ed Sheeran here when I was here in Nashville. I went and he said, I went and played my songs in pubs and people would talk and turn the other way.
Yeah,
and then I finally wrote one song, The A-Team, and people turned their chairs around. And I'm like, ooh, that's so. The second level is, can you get strangers that respond to your song and go, I love that song. Mm-hmm. Or they sing along like they do with your songs when I've seen you
do. Put down the phone and they pay attention.
They pay attention. So that's the second rung for me. The third rung was, would anybody but me record this song? Do they like it well enough to record it? Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time that happened. Somebody recorded my song. I'd written the song with him. So that was the next level. Will an artist that you co-wrote with, will they record this song? Uh-huh. And then does somebody you didn't write with want to record that song and record that song and release it? Now that's happened. So for me, that's the next level. And then can you get a major artist to record your song?
And that's next, right?
Or put it on hold. They want it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll record it. Maybe they won't. That's happened for me. Mm-hmm. Now major artist records it. Now major artist releases it. Now it gets on the charts. Now it goes to top 10 or number one or whatever. I mean, they're the hierarchy. And the whole point for me is I've got enough money and I've been blessed because I did well in my career. So money is one way to do it. But for me, I write songs because I have to, obviously. But I also write songs to communicate.
Yeah.
I write books to communicate. I want to move people with my books. I want to move people with my songs. And, you know, you've heard me play one song, and I'll probably play it here, but, you know, I've seen people cry when I've played a song.
Yeah.
We write songs to move people, to communicate and express emotions and move them. I mean, that's what music has done for you. You've been joyful listening to music. You've been, oh, somebody else feels the same way I do, validated. You've been, you know, moved to tears or, you know, great emotion, you know, with songs. That is a cool thing.
It really
to
is
be able
cool
to
feeling.
Do that through music, which is a little different from books and poetry or writing something down. It has the rhythm and the melody and the words. Well, that's a cool thing.
It really is a cool feeling.
It's a magical thing.
Going back to the question about defining success, what I'm hearing you say, Bill, and I think it's really an important lesson, is I don't think you go into it going, my goal is to have a number one hit. You do it in, you set little achievable goals.
Yeah.
And when you reach that, you go to the next one and the next one.
And you may not get there. I mean, I'm going for it, you know, just like I went for it with my books. You know, my books, I thought, well, if I could get a book, if I could finish a book, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. If I could get one published, that'd be cool. Wow, if I could get one that I got a literary agent for, which my other books were smaller and they didn't have literary agents. Then I got a literary agent who was interested in my book, sold it to a big publisher, you know, Penguin and W.W. Norton and HarperCollins. And they, you know, they got me big advances, which was nice. But that means the book got out to a lot of people. And again, when we write songs, we want people to hear those songs.
Yeah, we do.
Not just our friends and family, which is cool. But we want people to hear those songs. We want them to get out in the world, our song babies. And so, yeah. And if it never happened, it never happens. I'm just going for it. Like I went for it with books. Like
good
I went for it as a therapist. And, and you know, I had one time I was on Oprah with one of my books. And someone wrote me and said, reading your book saved my life. I was about to die.
Wow.
And I read your book. And I was like, okay, it's all over. Everything else is icing on the cake in my life at this point. I touched another person enough to make a major difference in their life. That's good enough. Now, everything else is icing. Same thing with songwriting.
I mean, I agree.
I've already written a song that I'm so proud of and I love. Everything else is icing.
Let's hear one of those songs that you're so proud of that you love.
All right.
I think this is a good time for that.
Well, you know, when I came here, I was more of a singer-songwriter and I had to learn to write country and commercial country, and I'm of a certain age. I'm a vintage. I'm a seasoned guy here.
They say you got to have some years on you
You do, but also there's a there's styles that change and country music. You know, when I talk to my friends, they go, "Oh, you're writing country western." No, country western.
I hate the genres.
Contemporary, yeah, that genre stuff is weird. But I mean, the genres have mixed, and
you really have.
These younger people, they listen to hip hop.
Did you ever think Beyonce would have a number one country song?
Yeah, really, absolutely. But they listen to hip hop, And they blended it with country and rock and folk and, you know, pop, like you say, all those genres, pop, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's all in there. And so writing with other people, I learned to do those rhythms. Mm-hmm. You know, mine was mostly whole notes and, you know, and I was like James Taylor and, mm-hmm. you know, Joni Mitchell. And that's great stuff. The Eagles. Yeah. That's all great stuff. Uh-huh. And when I came here, people said, oh, your songs sound like the Eagles and the Beatles. I go, thanks. And they go, no.
No.
We want more contemporary. So I learned to write a different style and I love it. I just love it. So this is one of these I wrote with an Irish artist and songwriter named Rosie Bell and a hit songwriter here, Jason Duke. It was written for Kelsey Ballerini and other people. So it's called. And I figured in honor of Dave Lanahan cleaning up a graveyard as a community service, I would sing Ghosted Me.
Oh, I love this song, Ghosted Me.
Sometimes I get like this when I get a little drunk. Start to think little bit, and the thought of you comes up. Everything would be so different if you ignored my text, but you didn't. Sometimes I wish you just ghosted me, talk once or twice and let go of me, moved on with your life without showing me the best of you. Love could be loving you, yeah, I can say without a doubt. Damn sure wouldn't be where I am now, sitting here drinking and hoping could go back before you were over. Sometimes I wish you just ghosted me. That's the risk that you take when you give someone your heart. There's a chance it'll break when you let it fall that hard. The missing you has gotten better lately. But if I'm being honest with you, babe, sometimes I wish you just ghosted me. Talk once or twice and let go of me. Moved on with your life without showing me the best of you. Love can be loving you, yeah, I can say without a doubt. Damn sure wouldn't be where I am now, sitting here drinking and hoping could go back before you were over me. Sometimes I wish you'd just ghosted me. No, I can't help going there in my mind, wondering what not knowing you might be like. Sometimes I wish you'd just ghosted me. Talk once, twice and let go. Moved on with your life without showing me the best of you. What love can be. Loving you, yeah, I can say without a doubt. Damn sure wouldn't be where I am now, sitting here drinking and hoping go back before you were over. Sometimes I wish you'd just ghosted me. Sometimes I wish you'd just ghosted me. Sometimes I wish you'd just.
Dude, I'm telling you, I love that song. I always love that song.
Thank you.
There are the lesson in the songs. Let me tell you, this is why I love doing this show,
yeah.
And why I go to watch, and why probably why you go to watch others perform as well, because there's always something we can learn. So three things right away. When I'm writing a song and I need a rhyme, okay, I hate when I can predict in a round what that rhyme is going to be. So you take a look at the hook of that song. I wish you would have ghosted me, and you rhyme ghost with go. Now, so think about rhyming the vowel. Don't look for a ghost. What rhymes with ghost, the S-T?
No. Mosted, hosted.
Hosted, right.
Loasted, toasted.
Right. But no, think about the vowel, which is the beautiful thing of a song. So I always say, we're looking for an O rhyme. That's what I'll say.
That's cool.
We're looking for an O rhyme. We're looking for an I rhyme. You know, there's only so many vowels, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, so there's that. Okay, then the other thing was groove. You yeah. talked about groove. When you came, you're singer songwriter.
That rhythm.
That rhythm. So you go. See where I'm going? I'm stringing. I'm hitting all seven. But you don't always have to hit all six strings. You can do.
So you've got a rhythm to. You're yes. almost doing your own drum or percussion.
Yes,
with
exactly.
the guitar, especially when you're an individual, you know, playing that song. You don't have a band behind you.
Exactly right. So think about that when you're playing. And I see a lot of new writers and players that will do. I got to hit all six strings. You don't.
You know, that's cool.
Yeah. Find your groove, okay? It is an instrument that you can put a groove to, okay? And here's the last thing, lesson in the song, Bill. What I love about this song is the twist. You could have said, you could have written a song. Okay, I want to write a song, guys, and here's my idea. I wish I never would have met her.
Yeah.
I wish I never would have met her. Or you could take a negative like, oh, dang, she ghosted me, man. She ghosted me. And you could twist it positive saying, I wish you would have ghosted me. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's an unexpected thing. I mean, you know, I have a songwriter mentor, Marty Dodson. He says, mm-hmm. can you make the hook seem surprising and absolutely expectable? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like, wow. Oh, yeah. You know,
never
like,
thought of it that way.
I never thought of it, but that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You know, it's so much. I look at it too, Bill, and tell me, you probably do too. It's like when you hear a good joke. The reason why you laugh is because you didn't expect that they pull the rug right out from under you. And a great song will do that to you, man.
It will.
It really will.
I mean, you know, and we were talking, I think there's another lesson that is, I didn't write with that kind of choppy rhythm. I was doing whole notes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard this thing that the Bee Gees mm-hmm. used to write a chorus in G, let's say. Mm-hmm. And they say, wow, that's great. Let's make that the first verse. Mm-hmm. Then they'd write another chorus in G. They'd say, great, let's make that the pre-chorus.
Okay.
Then they'd write another chorus in G, and they'd make that the chorus. Then they'd write another chorus in G and make that the bridge. Every part was as hooky as a chorus. And when I go back and listen to that, you know, I see your eyes in the morning mm-hmm. sun. They do that choppy rhythm, and I'm mm-hmm. like, that's so hooky. Rhythm, not just melody, mm-hmm. is hooky. And that song has... I really wish you did. Ghosted me.
It is.
Talk right once or twice and let go of me.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a three at the end that's a rhythm that's repetitive. Mm-hmm. And it's not just melody. It's melody rhythm hook.
So in writing that song, did you take that in consideration?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I was influenced by somebody who taught me that. It's like, mm-hmm. if you're going to do a rhyme, don't just do a rhyme. Do a rhythm repeat.
Mm.
Ghosted me over me.
Ah, see? Very cool. Very cool.
Showing me.
Yeah. Let's leave it there. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Bill O'Hanlon's our guest. Don't go away.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
So great to have Bill O'Hanlon back with us. He was with us just a few weeks ago talking about the new book, which is out there right now. Quickly, tell us about the book and why it's so important.
Well,
it's very important.
I came here and, you know, I was a therapist before. Therapists are terrible. We were all feeling oriented, you know, kind of liberal
feel,
arts
Bill?
Major.
That's
how it makes you feel. When you have to do your taxes, it doesn't help you that much to be feeling oriented. And same thing with musicians. We're all creative.
That's right.
And we're not the CPA types.
Right.
So when I got here, I thought, well, I know I'm going to have to learn the business side of it too. And there was no one little guide. So we made a little book, a couple of other songwriters here. Sierra and I, who had searched out this information like you had to do when you got here and learned it from friends or from, you know, going to an NSAI thing or something and learning about, okay, what's the MLC? I'm like, what's the MLC? And why, how is that different from Sound Exchange?
Doesn't BMI collect that anymore?
Pro should I, and should I copyright all my songs? I mean, all those questions. It's less than 100 pages.
It is.
And it's, you know, it's compact and succinct, and it's what I needed to know when I got here. And what anybody who's serious about songwriting, if you're putting out your songs at all, if you're playing them for friends, it's not an issue, you know, unless you're worried about somebody stealing them, and then we talk about that in there.
It's in there too.
It's really about, do you want to actually make a little money from your songs? You're probably leaving some money on the table if you don't know all these things.
Wow, I found out I did. Thank you.
Same here.
Thank you. Leaving on the table. So, Bill, last time you were here, the first time that you were here, episode 2 or 3 of the podcast, you said something that I thought was extremely brilliant, and I want to bring it up today again. I've heard songwriting compared to a lot of different things, but never had I heard it being compared to alchemy. And you, when you said that, I thought, what a concept. Because so true. Yeah. Explain that again.
Well, again, you know, you've been in these rooms.
And there's this great book, The Alchemist.
Yeah, The Alchemist. One of my favorite books. Yeah. It's a great book. Very inspiring book by Paulo Coelho. Early on in the internet, I was an early internet adopter. And I wrote Paulo Coelho after I wrote that, and he wrote me back.
Did he? Wow.
And then I wrote him back, and he never responded. He ghosted me.
He ghosted me
after that. But you know, to me, back in the Middle Ages, they had these things. These so-called scientists were trying to create gold from baser metals or from the air.
Yeah.
They were trying to create gold. You've had this. You walk into a room, and 3 hours later, sometimes, or an hour later, or 2 sessions later, you've created something out of nothing that's gold. Mm-hmm. You and your co-writers. You know, it's like, how did that happen? I mean, if you try and explain it, you can explain some parts. We were talking about some of the craft of it.
Yeah.
But there's a magic and an alchemy and a mysticism to it. It's like those people came together and this song becomes one of your favorite things in the world and sometimes a favorite of other people. And you have, and someone else, this wasn't mine, they said, you know, as musicians, what we're doing, or songwriters, we're selling vibrations that go through the air. That's what we're selling. We're selling air that vibrates and makes your little cilia in your ear, you know.
When I was selling radio, we were doing the same thing.
Yeah,
selling
you're selling air. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they call it airtime.
Airtime. Yeah.
You are selling air. And
selling
same
air.
Thing as a songwriter. You're selling air that vibrates and moves people's hearts and souls. Yeah. And you think, wow, that is magic. It's alchemy.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Is. And, you know, it's unexplainable. Because there is, you know, it's like there was an old New Yorker cartoon and there's this long series of, you know, difficult equations. And then right near the end it says, and then the magic happens equals 3, you know, or whatever. And you're like, and then the magic happens. Like, oh, you got to explain that part.
Yeah.
And when we're in those rooms and that magic happens, it's like,
incredible.
There is something spiritual and mystical and weird and wonderful and, you know, and sometimes it's terrible and it doesn't work, but when it does, it is alchemical
and magical.
You get
that little chills up your spine.
Absolutely. Chill bumps. Definitely.
And that was good. Look, I got him. You know, I love that line.
You and I both know Greg Wilson and Michelle Canning, good buddies.
I just wrote with her last week. Michelle and I wrote a really
good
song.
She's a delightful person. She's a really great person. She was my roommate here for a while. Uh-huh. And we wrote a song, and I cried while we were writing that song.
See.
And, you know, so, I mean, if it can affect the person who's making it up, you know, and knows it's all made up.
Bill, I had this dear friend in Cincinnati, and one of my favorite songwriters, his name was Tim Skeen, passed away back in October.
Yeah,
Tim was a big guy. He was a good football player in high school and could sing like an angel and loved to write. And we always knew we were on something when we'd get the big guy to cry.
That is, you know.
We wrote Louisville Slugger together.
Maybe it's Hemingway or somebody.
Yeah.
No tears in the writer, no tears in the reader.
Mm.
And it's not always true for me because I can write something that moves other people that doesn't always move me. But if you can make the big guy cry.
Make the big guy cry. Yeah.
That's, you just put that on your wall.
Mm-hmm. There's another song I wanted to talk you out of, and I hear you play it and it rounds a lot. And every time you do, it's again, it's one of those, everybody puts down the phone and they listen. Because it does touch you, and it's the Late Night Talks with Jesus. And I want to know more about it and the writing of that song and how it all came together.
You know, I grew up Catholic, and it was a kind of a traumatic childhood because they weren't easy in those they were tough. And I got a little alienated from that, and I had my former father-in-law was a Southern Baptist minister, a very liberal guy, but a funny guy, and he goes, "Bill, I think you're beyond lapsed Catholic. I think you're collapsed, you know." but I came back to a more spiritual sense of things. Way beyond lapsed. I came back to a spiritual thing, and you know, it doesn't bother me at all. I get what Jesus is about, and makes something for me. I'm not very religious, but I'm very spiritual. But also, I don't mind some Jesus. And I wrote this song again with Jason Duke and another writer. Jake Arthur, I think, and
you have to understand, folks. Bill writes 300-400 songs a year.
Last year was 382. It's hard to remember.
It's hard to remember.
Really hard to remember.
Yeah. Headphones. Yeah. Sometimes it's got. I'm just taking a little short.
They came back.
They came back. Okay.
So this is a song, and we have a mutual friend, J4, and he's out in the audience.
Brilliant.
He's just gone through a breakup, so this is a little bit of a breakup song. And he's out there, and I can just see the tears streaming down. And then I'm like, I love it. Sorry, J4.
You're crying, but I love
it. Sorry that you're in pain, but I love that you're crying in my song. And he loves the song. So, big shout out to J4, to a super talented writer and player and producer.
I call him Joe Pan.
And Joe Pan. Yeah. He's right. Yeah. He's an amazing piano player and composer, yeah. It's getting late, I'm still awake. Clock spins an hour on every minute. Tried the bed, the couch instead. But my head just keeps on spinning round and round on some things I need some help to figure out. Why do the good die young and dogs get old? Do roads get paved? First trucks get sold? Will there be enough rain to make the farm pay out this season? Why do nice guys have to finish last? Are you ever really coming back? Why does goodbye not feel good when someone's leaving? How did she move on while I'm stuck here to pieces? But yeah, that's what's on my mind in late night talks with Jesus.
Another great rhyme.
When it's quiet and my mind is asking questions loud and clear, the wrongs and rights, the what's and why's, what I'm even doing here. And I get there by thinking about some things that for me are still up in the air. Why do the good die young and dogs get old? Do roads get paved? First trucks get sold? Will there be enough rain to make the farm pay out this season? Why do nice guys have to finish last? Is he ever really coming back? Why does goodbye not feel good when someone's leaving? How did she move on while I'm stuck here in pieces? Yeah, that's what's on my mind in late night talks with Jesus. What is forever, if forever doesn't last? I may not get the answers, but I have to ask. What could I have done to make her stay? Why do hearts fall anyway? If all they're ever gonna do is break, if love's what they believe in, why do nice guys have to finish last? Are you ever really coming back? Why does goodbye not feel good when someone's leaving? How did you move on while I'm stuck here in pieces? Yeah, that's what's on my mind and late night talks with Jesus. Yeah, that's what's on my mind, late night talks with Jesus.
The song's got so much going for it. Melody.
Thank you.
Great rhyme, pieces into Jesus, fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good rhyme.
And it's, yeah, it is. And just a great song. I mean, good. It doesn't seem, goodbye does not feel good.
When someone, why do they call it goodbye? It's not a goodbye, it's a bad bye.
Sometimes it's things that make you go, hmm. Yeah.
It's like comedians. They get you to think about that. What? Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah. Do you remember how the song evolved?
Georgia Miles was my co-writer.
Georgia's
a good friend of ours. Sorry, Georgia. I was spaced out for a second there. Georgia had that. She was talking about how she had insomnia, and she was talking to somebody at a grocery store or someplace. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, it's hard when you're up and you don't want to wake your partner or anybody else, or you live alone or whatever. And The only person you got to talk to is Jesus, you know. And She's like, late night talks with Jesus.
Write that.
Wow. And she brought it into our write, and we wrote the heck out of that. I love that song. Yeah. That's a good song.
You did write the heck out of it.
And I learned how to play. It was written on piano, and I learned how to play a guitar part to it and made my own guitar part. So I sort of made it my own. But, you know, when you co-write, I've heard you do songs that you've written with other people, and you're like, wow, that's...
Yeah, if I'm playing
it's
with
cool.
someone...
I like that variation I like his version, I like her version, I like his version. You know,
I do,
it's cool.
I do too. Yeah.
It's nice.
You know, there's that old song that I wrote with Zach Hannard and Greg Matthews, the mayor.
Ball Tires.
And there's like four
Everybody plays a different version. Everybody. It's been recorded a couple of times.
About to be recorded for the fourth time.
That's great.
And every time it's different.
Everybody's got their own variation, which is cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Because
I just got a song recorded by an artist, and he said, can I change this word? Can I change these
words? Well, I'm glad
words?
He asked you.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's right. He did ask me. And I said, absolutely, that doesn't change the whole song. Make it your own. Mm-hmm. And he was like, thank you. Thank you, sir.
He's a solid guy.
Thank you, sir.
And
I'm like, don't call me sir.
My first Nashville cut was Baby, I'm Gone. And it was Chancey Williams. I love it. I'm so proud of Chancey. And he's playing on the Opry a lot and doing some great things. Love the guy. But they changed that song.
I wish they would ask. Because, sometimes I'll have people do my demos. Uh-huh. And they'll change the melody or they'll change a word. And I'm like, no, we spent a lot of time writing that melody and writing those words. And there's a logic to those words that all hangs together if you know how to, if you know what you're doing with songwriting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this guy very respectfully asked. And he said, if you don't want me to change it, I won't change it. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a faded Gibson blacktop was the line. He said, I play Martin. Can I put a faded Martin? And I'm like, yes, that doesn't change the song. That's a minor change.
Yeah.
And, he asked for two other things, two legacy country artists, and he just wanted to put the ones that he admired, and they fit in the meter, and they rhymed, and it was like, make that change.
Our plugger was more upset about the change than we were, She was ready to get on the phone and go, no, let's not rock the boat.
Because
it's okay.
It's respectful. It's a respectful thing.
But it is respectful to ask.
You respect the artist because they do something you can't do, and they should respect the songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll educate them through the Songwriter Connection podcast. We get a little incensed about that if you don't check with us.
Don't get so highfalutin. And I'm not going to mention names, but I remember we were at a songwriter festival in Cincinnati, and a big hit songwriter just had the number one song for the guy who was playing the main stage at the festival. And he went to just say hi, knocked on the bus door. Hi, I'm Glenn. I wrote that. The dude wouldn't even see him.
Wow.
He was too busy, Wouldn't see the guy that wrote his number one song.
That song wouldn't exist without that dude.
Exactly right, man.
Without that songwriter. That's what they say in NSAI. It all begins with a song.
It all begins with a song.
The music business would not happen if we didn't have songwriters and composers.
Let me ask you this, Bill. Like Jesus, you're pitching that song around.
Yeah.
How are songs pitched today? We've never really talked about that.
Well, I mean, again, having done several other careers, it does take a village to raise a song and get a song out in the world. And, there are pluggers and pitchers. I was a book writer.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get your book really big out there, you need a literary agent, a book agent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in songwriting land, publishers are like your song agents.
Okay.
even though, you know, like I had book publishers and they weren't my agents. They were the people who got them out. They were like the record pressers of the world. They don't have records. Well, I guess they still have vinyl. But, but we have either publishers who are your song agents who get your songs to those artists that are going to record them, or to producers that are working with artists that are going to record them, to their managers or A&R people at the record label. That's one way. And then pluggers, those are people who have been in the music business for a while and have established those relationships. When I was a book author, I couldn't go directly to HarperCollins or Penguin or whatever. They didn't want to see me because there's millions of people that want to get a book, or thousands of people that want to get a book published, and they send them stuff every week. They don't have time to even sift through it. Mm-hmm. So they have somebody sift through it for them and send them the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And they've developed those relationships with those book agents. Well, it's the same thing in the music industry. It's a song plugger who's developed years of relationships, trusted relationships, so they're not going to send crap songs. They're going to send their best songs, and hoping to help out the artists or the labels or the producers who are looking for great songs. They're always looking for great songs. You know, everybody who's not in the, you know, success in music business thinks, oh, there's these velvet ropes and they keep everybody out and they're all friends and everything. They're desperate to find a song to make money and get on the radio and bring people to concerts. They want the best song possible, but they can't deal with the thousands of not great songs that we get sent to them. Right. So it's all those intermediaries. So it's song pluggers, and then publishers are the main thing. And I've developed relationships with publishers and song pluggers, and I've used many, and they've gotten me some cuts. Also writing with artists. You've done it, you know, and sometimes if you write with artists, all of a sudden you've skipped that velvet rope because they're like, I love this song, I'm going to put it on. Now they still have to go through the gatekeepers.
Oh, absolutely.
Their managers, their labels, the people who are guiding their career and saying, that's not the right song. I've had artists have said, I have to record that song on my next album. And the labels go, no, you're not going to be, it's not up tempo.
That's right.
You can't have
it. We need an up tempo cut. Yeah. You know, so here's the other thing, too, that's been changing in this industry. Now, I remember when I first started really getting serious about songwriting, it was all about writing up with guys and gals that have had hits.
Or that are published writers that have access through their pluggers or their publishers.
Now, it's changed a little bit. I think that's still important because they'll look at a song and it's got a name that they recognize. Tom Douglas. That's Tom Douglas' song. We got to listen to that. But it's also important today to write around. And my friend Scott Barrier we talked about this for a long time one night. He'll write with just about everybody because that could be an artist. I love that song. You know what? I'm going to record that song. And that's a cut for you. And so it is important to get to write with the artists. And where do you find them? And like you said, you're going around.
They're the baby ones who are, some of them are going to go on to do well. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, they could play that song out and somebody could hear it.
That's right.
That's the other thing about co-writing that I didn't think when I first came here. I was like, you've got three people or two people or five people or however many you have in a co-write, but you have like 19 in pop, that are going out there getting the song out in the world or have connections out in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. I mean, you know, write with as many people as you can. First of all, you're going to learn from them. Second of all, you have more people that are advocating for that song as they can get it out in the world. I've gotten cuts because of that.
Yeah, me too.
Not just from writing with the artist, which is a great thing to do. And some of the people we write with, we know are going to get up there and make it to a bigger level when we're not going to be the artist, probably at this point.
Well, it's just so good to talk to you. Time flies by.
I know. We've been talking about doing this, and I'm only in town, every once in a while, and I spent the winter in the Caribbean, so
I know in the future there's going to be some big Bill Hamlin cuts, because you've probably written them already.
I don't know.
There's some great songs you've written.
Thank you.
Why don't you leave us with one and a quick story about how you wrote it, and one of those songs that you're really proud of.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you for asking, and thanks for having me.
Man, it's been my pleasure.
We're friends, and that's the other thing.
That's the other thing too.
I had a fine level of friendship, but I was a therapist, and I know men as they age, they tend to have fewer friends. their social network shrinks.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they don't work with them anymore. They used to, you know, they knew them on the job, or they knew them in high school and they move away. I mean, you move to a different place, they move to a different place, they retire and go to Florida or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I have made such dear friends, including
me
you.
Me too.
Being a songwriter, yeah. I mean, you're in that room, and being a therapist, it's like a therapy session. I mean,
yeah, it really is.
It's a lot like being
in
a therapy
Absolutely.
Session, and the dear friendships you make, and it's so cool you call this Songwriter Connection. You know what I did today, too? I just want to make a plug for this. I listen to this song because I'm out exercising, and I listen to it, you know, through my phone and my headphones. And I had never gone, even though you say it all the time, I never gone on YouTube and subscribed. I'm your 421 or whatever, I don't know.
You
need to get to 1,000. Well, let's get Dave to 1,000. Let's get Songwriter Connection to 1,000 on YouTube. And then maybe it will turn into a video podcast. You never know.
You never know.
It would support the podcast with advertising.
Exactly. We're now six, as of this recording,
620,000
worldwide listeners. But that most of those are not YouTube.
They're audio. Yeah, they're audio, most of. But let's get it also on YouTube.
Wouldn't that be cool? Then eventually we'll buy some cameras.
The 2 minutes that it'll take you to go on YouTube and see the audio version of Songwriter Connection, and then just subscribe.
Thank you, Bill.
It makes a difference.
Bless you for
it makes a difference.
Appreciate it. And I want to also thank you, because every time Bill came into town, I was running a writer's round, and sometimes it's just so hard to fill the seats because people are sick and everything. And Bill would always say, hey, I'm coming into town. Can you put me in? And I would always put him in between the set, but a lot of times somebody would cancel out and Bill would put Bill right in. So I always appreciated that too, because you were always available to me, and I do appreciate that.
Oh, and you were always so kind of me. You put me in. I had never played rounds before I came here, and I went to see Tin Pan rounds, which were amazing. But I went to see Songwriter rounds, like, I want to be up there doing that with those people that know each other and are having fun and making jokes with one another and kidding each other.
It's exactly.
Like, if you've never seen a songwriter round, come to Nashville, go see a songwriter round. Not even the big names, just the everyday. You know, you'll hear some not so great songs, and you'll see some amazing songs. And you'll get that sense of that camaraderie that develops in the songwriting.
It's so much fun. I mean, go to the Bluebird. If you can't get in the Bluebird, try the listening room. If you can't get in there, go to places like the Logo. Go to the Commodore
Local,
Grill.
Yeah.
You're going to see
Commodore Grill, You can every night, the Commodore Grill, great stuff.
Bill O'Hanlon with this.
Wow. It's funny. I've been in the Caribbean for 4.5 months. I haven't been playing out, so I have to remember my songs. As you say, I write 300 or 400 a year. It's hard to remember them all. But this was a special one for me. I wrote it with a songwriter here, a hit songwriter, Victoria Banks, and her house got hit by a tornado.
Oh, God.
She's a very religious person, has a really great faith community, church nearby, and it was a traumatic thing because our kids were there and a tree fell into one of their kids' rooms and the chimney collapsed into the house. It was scary. So we were writing together with another writer, and she was talking about this, and she said they had to move out to a hotel, you know, while their house was, it was raining and, you know, there's holes in the roof. And their backyard was trashed, you know, as children's playthings, and they're intertwined, you know, all trashed and smashed and intertwined with tree branches that had fallen in there. And their church community came and cleaned the whole backyard.
Wow.
They came home. It was spotless, and they put a tarp over the roof. And it's like, oh, come on, you know, like, and she said, they're my community. They're my, you know, they're my protection. And, you know, I go there when I'm hurting, and I'll offer that to other people. And I had this hook, and I had this little riff, you know. And we just wrote this song, and I was like, that's like a Leonard Cohen song. I mean, it's like deep. I don't usually write deep. I'm writing like Ghost in Me, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is deep. I love this song. And this song really moves me. So it's called My Cathedral. Mm. I was a lost soul Saturday night. You were a Sunday morning. Sometimes you find what you need without even looking for it. I was down on my knees, trying to find a way to believe. And now my arms are a prayer, aiming at the sky, and my scars are the scattered purple stained glass. Light in my heart is a hymn, ringing out like a bell through a steeple. Love is my cathedral. Your love is my cathedral. You give me grace, give me faith enough to fall into you. And then you lift me even higher than a hallelujah. Let me be who I am forever and forever, amen. And now my arms are a prayer aiming at the sky, and my heart is a scattered purple stained glass light, and my heart is a hymn ringing out like a bell through a steeple. My past is a page fraying at the edge, my mistakes wash away. You forgive, you forget, and you hold me and show me the strong and the pure and the peaceful. Your love is my cathedral. Your love is my cathedral. Let me be who I am forever and forever, amen. And now my arms are a prayer aiming at the sky, and my scars are the scattered purple stained glass light, and my heart is a hymn ringing out like a bell through a steeple. My past is a page fraying at the edge, my mistakes wash away. You forgive, you forget, and you hold me and show me the strong and the pure and the peaceful. Your love is my cathedral. Love is my cathedral. Your love is my cathedral.
That's awesome, man. So much imagery in there. So many great lines.
Yeah.
And again, the lesson in the song. I want to write a song because I'm so in love with this woman. I just worship her. So let's write that. Well, what's a different way we can say that? Well, your love is my cathedral. Is good way to do it.
Absolutely.
Find a different way.
Yeah.
Bill, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you. And thank you for all the Songwriter Connections, because I've learned so much. Go back and listen to all the rest of them if you haven't. Just start listen to them in the grocery store. Start going out and exercise and listen to them. You will become a better songwriter if you listen to all these podcasts.
I'll pay you later, okay?
All right, yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Microwave up.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.